If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Telles from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Please remain seated and come to order. The court is now back in session.
Does the state stipulate to the presence of the jury panel?
Yes, we do.
And the defense?
Yes.
Thank you. You may call your next witness.
The state will call John Martinez to stand.
John Martinez.
Oh. Remain standing, raise your right hand.
You do solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help God.
Yes.
You may be seated. Please state and spell your first and last of the record.
Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, Martinez, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z.
Okay, proceed. Thanks so much. Sir, are you familiar with a company called Multiple Plumbing Services?
Multiple Pump Services, yes.
Okay, what is Multiple Plumbing Services?
I work for them, and we do sewer bypasses.
What is that sewer bypass?
When there needs to be work done on the sewer line, we'll create an above-ground bypass, plug up the sewer line, suck it up, move it above ground, dump it off somewhere else to dry out that system so they can work on that dried out system.
Does your company perform that sort of work in residential areas?
Yes.
Is that like a 1-hour job?
No, it can go on for months, 24 hours.
Months.
Yes.
I want to turn your attention to September 2nd, 2022. Did you and your company perform a sewer maintenance project over on a street called Wintergreen?
Yes.
Okay. Did you work on that day?
Yes.
If we focus on September 2nd, 2022, and we work our way back, about how long was your company working on Wintergreen?
Probably mid-August.
So you were there in the month of August.
Yes.
So I have a question for you. When you would work on a project like that, was there anything that you and your fellow workers would actually wear on the construction site?
We're required to wear high-vis clothing, usually orange or yellow, with reflective vests or some kind of reflective tape on our chest.
Mr. Martinez, what is the purpose of wearing bright orange stuff when you're working on a sewer project out in a residential neighborhood?
We usually work in the middle of the road. road, so we need to be visible to traffic.
So you're in the middle of the street?
Yes.
So if a car drove by, in theory, as you were working, they could see you and your fellow workers all wearing orange clothing?
Yes.
And you were there during the month of August?
Yes.
How many days a week were you and your fellow workers working on wintergreen in orange jackets?
Every day for 24 hours.
Every day for 24 hours. So if you walked through the neighborhood, people should have seen
it. Yes.
If you drove through the neighborhood, people should have seen
it. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about September 2nd, 2022, probably around 10:30 in the morning, early morning hours, maybe around leading up to about noon. Are you working at wintergreen?
Yes.
Is there a vehicle at some point around that time, around 10:30-ish, catch your attention?
Yes.
Why does it catch your attention?
I was doing a route from Rock Springs to Wintergreen every 30 minutes, and I would pull up in the middle. It was more convenient for me to park in the middle, so I wouldn't have to park and then walk down. A vehicle parked in kind of like right before a barricaded sign. If that vehicle was there, it would impede traffic to turn right on, I'm not sure the street name. So when I pulled up, that vehicle was parked on that side right there.
So you were not on foot, you were in your car?
I was in the company truck.
Like a work truck?
Yes.
Okay. And when you see this car parked over there, what kind of vehicle, what color vehicle was it?
I remember it was red.
Red. Do you see the driver?
Yes.
Is the driver wearing anything?
Orange.
Orange. First impressions, did you think he was part of your work project?
I wasn't really sure.
But he had something similar to what you and all your fellow workers who have been there for the last month has been wearing?
Similar, yes.
So do you kind of pull up in his general direction?
I pulled up in the middle of the road, and he was parked on facing the opposite direction than me on my left.
Do you remember it being filled with lots of people, or was there only one person in the car?
One person.
Okay. As you start to approach this vehicle, does that red car with the person in the orange jacket, does that person stick around?
No, he gave me a wave and then proceeded to drive away.
So that person didn't get out and join your work site?
No.
He didn't ask where I should park to help out and work?
No.
But he just moved on?
Correct.
Did you ever see that red car again, as far as you remember?
Not that I remember.
Okay. You've had, at some point a couple days later, someone from the police department approaches you, isn't that right, Mr. Martinez?
Yes.
Have you had a chance prior to see some footage, maybe from some like a home surveillance camera?
Prior to that, no.
Okay. But I meant like around that time, you have seen footage previously that picks kind of what you've described to us. Is that correct?
Yes, I have seen it.
All right. At this time, I believe we have a stipulation that states proposed 338 has been admitted into evidence. Okay. We will be playing a video just entitled John Martinez Video. If we could cue over, please. I'll start it up again. I'm going to stop it right here. Do you see a vehicle that you just described to us previously?
Yes.
Okay, where is it located on this footage?
It's the SUV on the right top corner.
All right, resuming playing. That white truck, who's driving that white truck?
I am.
And that's kind of the interchange they saw, correct?
That's correct.
And the driver at no point rolled down his window to ask you where he should park, join you and your fellow worker on that sewage repair project?
No.
He drove away?
Correct.
I have no further questions.
Yes. You were shown this video correct?
Yes, the following Monday or Tuesday after by a detective.
Okay, and this was 2 years ago?
Yes.
And you agree with me that you gave honest answers to the detective when you were interviewed?
Yes.
Tell me you didn't really remember the interaction?
Not really.
And would it be fair to say that, I mean, it's been 2 years, you've had a lot going on, probably remembered it better then than you would today?
Yeah, I was pretty tired when he interviewed me, but yes.
Okay, he tape recorded your interview,
right? I believe
so. You were asked if someone tried to get your attention and you said you didn't really remember honestly. Fair answer?
Yeah, fair answer.
Fair to say it wasn't a memorable interaction?
I'm sorry?
I said fair to say that it wasn't really a memorable interaction had his person.
I guess.
I mean, you can tell by your face. It didn't stick. I mean, you didn't remember when you were interviewed a couple of days later, really, you know, what happened or the importance of it, fair to say?
No, I didn't feel like it was important, though.
You didn't feel like it was important. You never saw this person's face, correct?
I did, just for a very short time.
I see. Were you ever shown any lineups in reference?
Any, I'm sorry?
Yeah, to identify
them. No, I was never asked to.
Okay. You never spoke to this person?
No. Right.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Yeah. Just to be clear, police officer who interviewed you didn't ask you the question of, hey, did I ever get out and ask where he should park? He didn't. That officer never asked you that question.
No.
Would you have answered it back then if you were asked that question?
Yes, I would have remembered that.
The first person who asked that question, me, correct?
Right.
And that was today,
yeah.
Right? Additionally, the question about him getting out and asking for directions, like, that was never asked by this officer. This driver in the orange jacket in the red car ever sought any information as to where to park. But the police officer never asked you a question like that back then, correct?
Correct.
So you never had an opportunity to answer it until today. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And just to be clear, I mean, we have the video, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we can see the driver doesn't get out of the car, correct?
Correct.
Okay. He just drives off once you start to approach.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. No further questions.
No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony here today. You can step down. Your excuse from your seat. Please state and call our next witness.
We're going to call Detective Cliff Mogg to stand.
You do solemnly swear at the testimony you're about to give in this action shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You may be seated. Please state and spell like your first and last name for the record.
Clifford, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D. Last name is Mogg. M as in Mary, O-G-G.
Have a seat. We don't have anyone. That's all right. Sir, normally I'd ask you what you currently do for a living, but I first want to ask you, as late as last year, what were you doing here in Las Vegas?
Well, up until August 10th of last year when I retired, I had been a police officer for almost 40 years, 27 of that with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, and 20 years as a homicide detective.
Okay. Currently, do you have a new profession, or at least a follow-up of your police work?
I'm a contract investigator for the Clark County District Attorney's Office, and I have my own company, and that's what I do currently.
Were you hired by our office to prepare kind of a PowerPoint analyzing video surveillance?
I was.
And just to be clear, was this video surveillance that you had collected when you were working as a homicide detective with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police?
Correct. On September 3rd, myself and other members of my squad responded to Mr. Gurman's residence in connection with a body that had been found in a suspicious homicidal death. I was one of the later detectives to respond, and my job at that point was to assist the other lead detectives in the case and locate surveillance video in the area of the crime.
All right. So let's talk about that first. So this PowerPoint, you heard this PowerPoint, is that correct?
I did.
Tell this jury a little bit about the process that you and your fellow detectives, as well as patrol officers, conducted to collect all of the footage that we are about to see.
So the collection of this video actually occurred over a couple of days. On the day of our initial response to the scene, we canvassed the area looking for surveillance cameras that are located on the outside of houses, on businesses that might be surrounding the area, any other type of surveillance cameras, whether they be stationary or mobile cameras that could be in the area. And then we make contact with the people who are at that residence or that business and attempt to collect video from them. In this case, there was a house directly across the street which had cameras that faced Mr. Gurman's residence. Down the street, there were a couple other houses. Some of them did not have any surveillance that was available, either because the camera didn't record it or it wasn't within the range of the camera. I recovered some surveillance video from a house at the corner of Wintergreen and Bronze Circle, which actually showed the arrival of the suspect vehicle and the suspect walking along the Wintergreen Drive.
I want to jump ahead just for 1 second before we start moving on to your PowerPoint. You mentioned you found footage on Wintergreen of the suspect vehicle. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. In your line of work, whether it's in a residential area, like in the outdoors, or maybe at a casino, is there a process that if you find a suspect or a person of interest, is there a method in which you try to track the movements of someone?
Yes. So once we collect surveillance video and we collect it for a certain time frame where we believe the crime occurred or where the suspect may have been in the area, at that point we start reviewing the camera footage from the time that we get it until the time that video footage ends, looking for the suspect. If we find the suspect or the suspect's vehicle in any of those video clips, then what we do is start going backwards and looking further down the street, around the corner, down the other streets, businesses that are in the area, to see if we can determine when the suspect or the suspect's vehicle arrived in the area and when it left and what route it took to either arrive at the scene or depart from the scene.
And so ultimately, you are trying to find, ideally, the ultimate origin, let's say in this case, the suspect car, trying to find the ultimate origin of that suspect car, and you're trying to find the final destination of the car. Would that be fair?
That's correct.
Can you tell, once you found this vehicle, were you able to track it beyond just, you know, Wintergreen and Bronze Circle? Were you able to start collecting surveillance that extended beyond just those couple of streets?
Yes.
Okay, how far out are you going, sir?
Miles. I think it's actually driving the route. It's approximately 5.4 miles out that we went to collect video.
So you just kind of start what? Hitting businesses or restaurants or residences kind of all along this route that you believe this car has taken?
Correct.
And that's what you did in this case?
Yes.
How did you do that? Is it just a one-person job? How many officers took part in this?
So there were 6 people on my squad. We had other detectives that assisted us. There were detectives from the digital forensic unit that helped us. We had other units within the Metropolitan Police Department that assisted us in canvassing the area for surveillance video. All told, I believe I probably had 25 detectives looking for surveillance video.
Have you ever heard of the term of kind of gritting something out?
Yes.
What does that mean?
So it's just giving areas of responsibility to different detectives to look for surveillance video within that area.
Okay. Let's start getting to it. What do we see here? What is on this first slide?
So this first slide, there was a multitude of surveillance video cameras that were located. We were able able to collect surveillance video from several of the digital video recorders. Some of it was of evidentiary value, some of it was not. This right here is a listing, just the first six, of locations that had video that was of an evidentiary value that I used in constructing this PowerPoint.
And let me just stop you right there. And just to be clear, the suspect vehicle is not the only thing that you were tracking, correct, in terms of this PowerPoint and the compilation of the video, is that right?
That's correct. We also tracked the victim.
Okay, so because for example, I see number three. What's significant about number three?
So number three is Roberto's Taco Shop. It's located just north of Charleston on Rainbow, and the victim actually went there at about 9 o'clock in the morning on September 2nd, 2022.
And I see these, you know, you kind of have these parentheses for each one of them talking about DVR time. Why did you put that there, Detective?
So this gives us the approximate offset time from the actual time versus what was on the DVR. A lot of times DVR times are off. Sometimes they're way off. It just depends how the system is connected. If it's connected to the internet, then the time is normally accurate. If it's not, and it relies on somebody at the business to set the time, then the time can be off by any amount. And I always, if I'm within a minute, I normally just call it like 12:30. It could be 12:31, it could be 12:29, but I just give that 60 seconds in there for error.
Okay. Are these just another, seven sources of camera footage that we're ultimately going to see?
This is just a continuation of where we recovered surveillance video that had an evidentiary value.
Additional footage?
Correct.
And additional footage?
Yes.
So I see the last number here is 22. So there's 20 different cameras that were used to put this presentation together.
22.
Was this kind of what you were just kind of talking to us about?
Yes.
Sorry, if I jumped ahead, I apologize, Detective. What is significant about this slide, sir?
So after we identified the suspect in the case as Mr. Tejas, then what I did was just used what I felt was probably one of the most direct routes that would give me an idea of the distance between Mr. Tejas' residence and Mr. Gurman's residence. In this case, it's approximately 5.3 miles.
And this is kind of the path that you ultimately can follow with the suspect, correct?
Yes.
What is this?
So this is a photograph of Mr. Gurman's Honda Civic.
Okay. And what is this?
And this is a photograph of Mr. Tejas' maroon GMC Yukon Denali.
We'll talk about this Denali in a little bit once we're kind of through the footage, because I'll have to switch over to the other projector, but let's look at this. How are we going to start?
So this is the first movement of the victim at about 8:47 in the morning. He leaves his residence. The direction of travel he went was north on Wintergreen, and then we don't have any surveillance video of him after he goes north on Wintergreen. And so this, where the red circle is just his vehicle leaving a bronze circle from the direction of his residence. And then again, I did the same thing, just an approximate route that I believe Mr. Gurman would have taken to get to Roberto's Taco Shop, and that's approximately 2.4 miles.
What are we looking at here?
So this is Roberto's Taco Shop at 907 South Rainbow at about 9:04 in the morning. And again, this is a corrected time. So when I say corrected, it's just corrected for the differentiation from the actual time and the DVR time. And the victim arrives in his vehicle and parks in the parking lot on the south side of the business. And then this camera right here is the approximate location of the camera that captured that. This is Mr. Gurman arriving. So the clothing that Mr. Gurman is wearing was important to me later on in my examination of the surveillance video, because this is the same clothing he wears when he comes out of his house.
What are we looking at this like?
This is just a photograph of Mr. Gurman at the cash register inside the Roberto Taco Shop, and that's in about 9:04 in the morning.
All right, so now moved on to a new slide. What is significant about 9601 Red Hills Drive?
So this is the, hope I pronounce this right, Pidgett Elementary School. It is directly south of the road leading to Mr. Gurman's, or Mr. Tejas' residence.
So if you can show us, where's Mr. Tejas' residence?
Right up here where the red pin is.
Okay, I'm going to walk up here. Is this a driveway? Is that what we're looking at? Is that a driveway out on Spanish Step?
Yes.
Okay, so if you just pulled out of that driveway and down Civil Castle, that would be the straight route if Mr. Tejas leaving his house to make his way out, out in that direction. Would that be fair?
Correct. It's just a short eastbound jaunt and then south onto the street.
So just to be clear, this is at 9:10 in the morning. What are we going to see footage of here?
So this, you'll see Mr. Tejas arriving at his residence, and you'll see the red Yukon Denali traveling westbound and then northbound.
So back in the direction of his house.
Correct.
And just to be clear, you said that the process is start with the car, and then you start working in a direction, collect video, collect video, collect video, right? Until
yes.
You find the final destination, right?
Correct.
So this is the final origin spot, right?
Yes.
But you had to look at video prior to this, seeing the path of travel from the Bronze Circle residence, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Or Wintergreen, right? Thank you. All right. So we've got, just to go back, so we're at about 9:10 in the morning for Teus's Denali at the point, correct?
Correct. He's right. Arriving home.
All right. So now, why are we looking at this slide next?
This is another slide of the victim. So at 9:11 in the morning, the victim leaves the restaurant, gets into his car. He travels west in the parking lot, then goes north in front of the Home Depot there at Rainbow and Charleston, and then he turns back out onto Rainbow Boulevard.
Okay, so this is a minute apart, right? So Gehrman's at a taco shop, Teus is on his way home, that's or correct. In that direction.
Yes, there's Mr. Gehrman leaving the restaurant. And in addition to this, I also looked at the other cameras from these businesses to see if there was another red Yukon Denali that had followed Mr. Gehrman there or followed him away, and I did not see one.
Okay, so during the time that you have eyes on Mr. Gehrman's car, at least at this point in time, you're not seeing a red Yukon?
I'm not.
All right. Now, what is significant about this slide?
This is at 9:12 in the morning, again from Pidgett Elementary School, and this is a camera, same angle as the last time, showing Mr. Teus arriving. This is showing Mr. Teus leaving the area of his residence, traveling south, and then traveling east on the street in front of the school.
And that would be Red Hills Road.
Correct.
What are we looking here in this slide?
So this is at 9:19 in the morning. This is a camera that was located at 1405 Wintergreen Drive, which is just southeast of Bronze Circle, where the victim lived. The victim drove northbound on Wintergreen Circle and then turned west onto Bronze Circle toward his house.
Has approximately 8 minutes elapsed since he left the Roberto's.
Approximately, yes. There's a vehicle making the westbound turn on Bronze Circle.
And so that's Bronze Circle beyond that tree there?
Yes.
Okay.
And then at 10:03, the victim left his residence again, traveled north on Wintergreen to Vegas Drive. And then this camera is located at 7200 Periwinkle. It's on Wintergreen, just south of Vegas, and it'll show the victim driving north on Wintergreen and then turning eastbound onto Vegas Drive at about 10:03 in the morning.
Did you also, at this point, with this type of footage, look to see if there's any red Yukons following him?
Not yet. Okay. Here you can see he makes the turn, and there are no other vehicles that follow him.
All right. What is significant about this slide, sir?
So this is the first time that I captured the red Yukon Denali at 10:26 in the morning, traveling southbound on Rock Springs Drive. This is, you can see in the yellow there, where Mr. Gehrman's residence is located. It's a couple blocks to the east, and this is it again at 10:26 in the morning, and it was captured by a camera on the east side of that address. And then these are just stills. His vehicle drove by too fast to be of any.
What's significant about this area?
At 10:26 in the morning, further down the street on Rock Springs is Cornflower Drive. This video was recovered from 7125 Cornflower Drive at 10:26 in the morning, and the red Yukon drove west on Cornflower, and it's captured by that camera on the north side of the house.
Okay.
At 10:30 in the morning, the house on the corner of Wintergreen and Vegas at 7200 Periwinkle, the victim drove west on Vegas Drive, then turned southbound onto Wintergreen back into the direction of his house. Again, you can see there are no other vehicles that followed the victim into the neighborhood.
What's significant about this timestamp?
So at 10:39, I saw the red Yukon traveling from westbound Vegas Drive to southbound Wintergreen. This is the same direction that the victim had just traveled. And again, 10:39 in the morning from 7200 Periwinkle, and it was the camera located on the side of the residence.
If we just go back for a second. So this is at 10:30. So Gehrman's coming in at 10:30, and this is approximately 9 minutes later.
Yes. And all of these videos are at the actual speed. When I reviewed the surveillance videos, I slowed these down to a quarter to an eighth of the speed so that I could look at details.
What are we looking at here?
So this is a still from that last video from 7200 Periwinkle, and this shows the suspect, who's clad in an orange traffic shirt, sitting in the driver's seat. The passenger visor is down, and the driver visor is down.
Did that take on later significance for your investigation, detective?
It did.
Why is that?
When I went to Mr. Teus's residence several days after the murder, I located at a similar red Yukon Denali parked in his driveway, and everything that I had seen on the surveillance video was similar to Mr. Teus's video, or to Mr. Teus's vehicle, including the fact that passenger visor was still down.
Okay, we're gonna pause that for that. I want to show something. At this time, we're going to ask permission to admit State 313 47 93. Approach the witness. Thank you very much. I want to I'm going to do to make it a little easier. I'll walk up to the jury so we don't have to be moving the computer. But take a look at these exhibits and tell me if you recognize what we're looking at there.
So these are photographs taken of Mr. Tejas's vehicle as he was parked in the driveway in front of his residence on the date that we executed a search warrant.
Now, you mentioned that one of the things that jumped out to you was when you saw that vehicle at his house parked, something about the visor that jumped out. What was that again?
That the visor was down in the same position that it was in this surveillance picture.
Okay, I want to show you 317 and 319. Is that depicting what you're talking about?
It is.
And is that essentially what you're circling there in that photograph on that PowerPoint presentation?
That's correct.
Permission to publish to the jury, Your Honor? Thank you very much. Showing the jury 317, 319.
There's also one other feature that I saw. Okay. If you look...
Okay, all right. Back there. Any other features that you noticed?
There was.
Okay, what was it?
If you look at the surveillance photo on the screen, below the visor, on the edge of the window, next to the hood of the car, there's a light-colored area. There was a similar light-colored area on Mr. Tejas's vehicle when I found it parked in his driveway.
Detective Fogg, why don't you step down for a second? Do you see it in this photograph? That light-colored area. Let the record reflect the witness has pointed to the bottom right-hand corner of the front windshield of that Honda Nolly. And it looks almost, it's lighter, I mean, kind of orangish, but it's not quite a rectangle. For the record, you said that jumped out to you when you saw the car in person?
Right.
I'd like to show you dates 317. Do you see it?
Yes.
Why don't you come on down and show them what you saw when you looked at it in person?
So it's this light-colored area.
Let the record reflect. Again, he's pointed in 317 to kind of a rectangular area right in the bottom corner of that front windshield. What's it say on the front passenger door there? Does that have lettering on that door?
Denali.
Okay, and when we look at 322 here, what does it say on the front passenger door?
Denali.
Tell me about the wheels for a second. Are the rims similar?
They are.
Okay. May I approaching stage 322? Another question, detective. The windows, the front passenger windows, anything significant about the front passenger windows as it relates to the rear window?
So as I reviewed the surveillance video, I noticed that the front driver and front passenger window were not tinted, but the windows behind them were. When I arrived at Mr. Tejas's residence, I noticed that the driver and front passenger window were not tinted and the rest were.
Showing the jury states 322 and 325. When you watch this video or this Denali on the video surveillance, do you see any bumper stickers or decals or anything like that?
None.
And when you saw Mr. Tejas's or Tellus's car in its driveway, did it have stickers on it anyway?
No.
Publishing 313. Okay, let's move back to this presentation. What is significant about this slide, sir?
So this is at 10:39 in the morning, again from the 1405 Wintergreen residence. The red Yukon drove south past the house, and the driver appeared to be the only occupant in the vehicle. And then less than a minute later, that same Yukon drove north on Wintergreen.
Now, did you noted that there was something about the license plate that was significant in the footage?
Yeah, it didn't appear to have a rear license plate during the time that I saw it driving around the neighborhood.
Now, detective, how long had you been a police officer for?
About 40 years.
How many years on homicide?
20.
Have you ever had a case when a suspect might, I don't know, remove his license plate when going off to commit a crime?
Yes.
Objection.
Let's move on. What do we have here in this slide?
So this is 37 seconds later at about 10:40 in the morning. The red Yukon drove south on Wintergreen Drive and stopped momentarily across the street from 1405. This is where it pulls in, stops.
And detective, I don't know if you are familiar with this, but were you aware that there was like a sewer repair project going on in that area?
I was.
So remind me, when you're driving down that road, what street are you heading towards now?
Cornflowers down that way.
Okay. There's... I just wanted to see if when we get to a map, I just kind of want to see if you can help me orient that. Why are these pictures isolated?
Those are just two stills of the Yukon and the suspect sitting in the driver's seat as they were parked across the street from 405.
And any significant about the windows?
Same thing. The front passenger and the front driver window were not tinted. The rest were.
All right. Okay. So Cornflower. So this is the area that we're talking about here?
Yes.
Okay. So when we looked at that last footage, is the car doing the north-south, about that, right?
Yes.
So when we saw the footage with the truck where they had that interact, can you come down here and show me where that interaction is, and then where does the red Yukon kind of drive?
So this is Bronze Circle right here, Sherman's residence. The Yukon parked right across this here for a brief instant. The sewer truck backed up here.
Okay. What is significant about this slide, sir?
At 10:48, at 7004 Copperleaf Drive, which is just south of Cornflower. The Yukon drove west in front of that residence, then made a U-turn and went east on Copperleaf Drive.
Is this a still of that footage?
Yes.
What are we looking at here?
This is another video of the Yukon as it drove west on Lunar Light Drive in front of 6905 at about 10:49 in the morning.
Is this a still from that footage?
Yes.
And now what are we looking at here?
10:54 in the morning from 7200 Periwinkle. This is just south of Vegas on Wintergreen. The red Yukon turned south onto Wintergreen Drive from westbound Vegas Drive, and the driver was still wearing the orange shirt.
This is a still from that?
Yes.
Okay. What about this footage here?
So this is 7200 Bronze Circle. It's right at the corner of Bronze Circle and Wintergreen. At 10:56 in the morning, the red Yukon was captured on the surveillance camera on the east side of the house. It stopped briefly, and then it continued south on Wintergreen Drive, and you can see the yellow reflective bands on the suspect's shirt. And then between 10:59 and 11:01, the suspect seen here with the beige gardener hat, the orange shirt with the reflective stripes, the dark pants, and the gray tennis shoes, walked north and south along Wintergreen briefly before he continued north on Wintergreen.
What are we looking at here?
So this is from 1405 Wintergreen Drive. That video was corrupt. It had a lot of blank spaces in it where there was just static. It did not show the arrival of the Denali in front of the residence, but at 11:01 hours when the video started up again, the Denali was already parked.
All right. Now, why is this footage significant, sir?
So this is where I capture the suspect walking south on Wheatland Way. And then after he walks south past 1505 Wheatland, he turns around and walks northbound again up to Periwinkle. And here you can see the suspect with his hat, his jacket, the pants, the shoes, and he was also carrying a bluish gray bag with dark straps on it.
More continuing coverage in the Las Vegas Reporter murder trial of Robert Tellez is on the way. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today, press subscribe now.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.